He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign.
Tonight. Appreciate the good music. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Find that chapter in the New Testament. And we'll look at Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth a little bit this evening, beginning in chapter 8. Give you just a minute to find that passage. And we'll stand in honor of God's Word here and read some verses and then jump into the preaching for tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Again, appreciate your faithfulness of being here. Folks, let me encourage you, when the church service starts, put your cell phones aside. You really can afford to turn that thing off, okay? We got a mentality today that says we can't be away from our phone. I don't know what people did for decades, millenniums, before there were cell phones, okay? You can give God this time, okay? Give God this time. And let's stand together, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Follow along now, begin reading. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. I want to speak tonight on amazing grace. Father, bless the time in Your Word tonight. Please open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of Thy law. And Lord, as You open our eyes, may we please have an open heart. We can trust what's preached from Your Word. So God, help us tonight to receive it. Do a work in us that only You can do. Fill both speaker and listener with the power of Your Spirit so that you might accomplish what You want to in this service is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. It's hard to believe that Thursday is June. And we begin the sixth month of the year 2017. And in just a few weeks, we will be at the halfway point of this year. I mentioned this morning our theme, consecration, restoration, filling God's hand, being at His disposal, doing His bidding, being restored to that place of consecration, of commitment, of dedication. Again, what I said this morning, we didn't realize all of our goals for the month of May as we had hoped for better weather. Again, thank you to those who came out yesterday and did the gutter cleaning and the painting and the weed eating and all that went in to a couple of senior citizens' places. Thank you for your effort. It was not the best day of the month because of being a holiday weekend. I understand that. But we couldn't help the rain last Saturday and did the best we could for that yesterday. We have emphasized so far this year prayer. We've emphasized reading. We've emphasized preaching. We've emphasized witnessing. This month, serving. And now, as we enter into the month of June, we're going to emphasize the matter of giving. Giving. Now, I know what that means. This emphasis has the potential to make everybody's stomach tighten up a little bit and, you know, kind of brace yourself and dig in your heels and make your theme song for the month of June, "I Shall Not Be Moved." Amen. So I know what that means. So just relax and let the Spirit of God speak to you. Seriously, giving is a joy. It can be. It should be. It ought to be how we approach it. And we have a very generous group of folks here. Last Sunday night, simply passed the plates after the Sunday morning service for Brother Sunday evening service for Brother Scotty Rackley and Darlene. Almost $600 came in the plate last Sunday night. Just one offering passing the plate. What a boost that is to them, folks, on their furlough. They're trying to raise their money. So thank you for being generous as people come through. Many of you have given faithfully, and I hope been able to give cheerfully for many, many years here at Faith Baptist Church. And if we're going to fill the hand of God, if we're going to do His bidding, then we're going to have to learn to give with a cheerful spirit and have God work that grace in our hearts. That is a necessity. The early years of this church, as far as my being here, from about 95 to the year 2000, we had a lot of emphasis on the subject of giving, and people sacrificed and gave. We haven't given as much emphasis on that in the last several years, and many of you have come since that time period. And I hope that you'll let God speak to your heart. I'm not going to preach every service on the subject of giving, but it will be something that I address this month as the Lord leads. Now, Paul made an incredible statement in the text that we read a moment ago, and that statement is found in verse number 4. Look at it there. He says about the churches in Macedonia, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Now, again, Paul is speaking about the people in the churches of Macedonia. If you've been here over the years talking about Paul's missionary journeys, you know what churches that is. That's Philippi, that's Thessalonica, and that's Berea. Okay? We know of those three for sure. So he's referring to those churches. And Paul talks about the people of those churches had collected what he called the gift. You see it in verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Now I want to tell you, if you're new to this or you haven't heard this message or messages like this, I want to explain to you what the gift is. The gift was a monetary offering that Paul encouraged the churches to receive for a specific purpose. This was not tithe. This was not going into the treasury of the local church that was taking. They were taking these special offerings for the poor Jewish saints who were living in Jerusalem. You read the book of Acts. The poor saints, the Jewish saints in Jerusalem were under severe persecution. Okay? So severe that everybody fled Jerusalem except for the apostles. And the Jews that were part of that church stayed there. And they were under bad, bad persecution. Hold your finger here. Put your ribbon, a piece of paper, something in 2 Corinthians 8. And let's turn to two or three passages to tie all this together. Look at Romans chapter 15. One of the last chapters in the book of Romans. Go back a few pages. Romans chapter 15. And we'll begin reading in verse number 25. So find that passage. Romans 15 and verse number 25. Now, Paul is writing to the church at Rome, okay? Not the Catholic church. He's writing to the believers in the church at Rome, all right? Verse number 25 of chapter 15. Paul says to this church, "But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. That's the Jews. He says in verse 26, "For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." Look at 27. "It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are." He said those Gentile, those churches in Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea were made up mostly of Gentile converts coming out of paganism, okay? A few Jewish converts as well. But look at what he says. "If the Gentiles have been made partakers of their," the Jews, "spiritual things, their duty," the Gentiles' duty, "is also to minister unto them in carnal things." Brother Brian Sharp has what he calls the Gentile ministry. It's based on this principle that the Gentiles, because we have benefited from the Jews spiritually, we ought to be willing to help the Jews physically with material things. When he says here, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things, he's not talking about things that are not spiritual. He's talking about temporal things. Things like food, and things like housing, and things like clothes, items for living. And let me just reestablish, people, that all of us who are Gentiles, born into God's family, have benefited from the Jewish people. We have benefited from the nation of Israel. And please do not fall into the trap of believing that God is done with the nation of Israel. You'd have to deny much of the Old Testament to believe that, okay? So God, they're still God's chosen people. And I know right now there's a veil over them for the most part. They are blind to the truth of Jesus Christ. Some reject Christ. Others are just blind to it. And there's going to be a great revival someday. But Paul is establishing a principle here. He's saying, folks, we have benefited from the Jews spiritually. Our Savior came to us through a Jewish womb. Our Bible came to us through Jewish hands that held quills and pens. All right? So we've benefited from the Jews spiritually. And because we have, Paul said, it's right for us to be generous in helping them with car. He's talking about those poor saints in Jerusalem who were undergoing severe persecution. And it says in verse number 26 that it pleased them in Thessalonica, in Philippi, in Berea. And then he says, and Achaia. Now you know what church is located in Achaia? Corinth. The Corinthian church is in Achaia. So these churches have gotten, they've decided, you know what, we're going to follow Paul's exhortation and we're going to be generous to help these Jewish saints who are in Jerusalem under persecution. Now I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, last chapter in the book of 1 Corinthians. Again, now Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 1. Paul writes, "Now concerning the collection for the saints," he's talking about the Jewish people in Jerusalem, "as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." People, that's not about tithing. That's not about tithing. That's about giving to the poor saints in Jerusalem. That's not about tithing. You see that from verse number 1. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia." So, he's telling the church at Corinth, you come the first day of the week, and you lay by you in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Paul said, I'm coming to see you. And when I come to see you, I hope the offering is ready. And when I get there and it's ready, whoever you approve, I will send them with the offering to Jerusalem to take care of the poor saints. So again, Paul is, and by the way, I want you to notice in verse number 1, he said that he gave this order to the churches in Galatia. The churches in Galatia. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Over to Galatians chapter 2 in the New Testament. We're tying all these passages together. Galatians chapter 2. And look with me at a couple of verses here. All right? We started in Romans. Then we went to 1 Corinthians. Now we're in Galatians chapter 2. and look at verse number 9 and 10. And Paul is writing back, referring to the time when the Gentiles were just getting saved in the book of Acts. And he says in verse 9, "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen." They should go unto the heathen, that's the Gentiles, "and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do." Paul said, folks, Peter and James are going, and John, they're going to the circumcision. They're going to the Jews. We are going to the uncircumcision. We're going to the Gentiles. The only thing they asked me to do was to remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do. Something I'd already agreed to. Something I already thought about. So what we're talking about here, everywhere Paul went and started a church, he exhorted them to get a monetary offering together for the poor saints, the Jewish saints, who were living in Jerusalem. Are we there? So we all together so far, okay? Everywhere he went, Paul did this. Now, let's go back to our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, okay? So he talked to the church at Rome about it. He talked to the church at Corinth about it. He talked to the churches in Galatia about this offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem. So now, in 2 Corinthians 8, he's writing to the Corinthian people. He says, "Get your offering ready. I am coming to visit you, and I want to collect that offering and either take it with me or send it with somebody that you approve." Now, I want you to notice in verse number 4 what is said here. "Praying us with much entreaty," talking about the churches in Macedonia, "praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift." Now, folks, here's the incredible part to me about this. When he uses these words, "praying us with much entreaty." Because in that you have the spirit of the givers in the Macedonian churches. In that you have the attitude of those that were giving toward the Jewish saints. It wasn't a have to. It wasn't a need to. It was a get to. I get to give. He says here, the word "praying" means asking, but it's not just a casual request. It is a request with earnest. It is a request with a plea. There's heart behind this. And Paul uses the word entreaty. You know what that word means? That word means earnestly asking, pleading, if you will, pressing, supplication, urgently requesting. Now, I don't think I have to labor long to explain their attitude. The people in these churches in Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea, cut it any way you want to, they were begging Paul. They were pleading with Paul. They were urgently requesting Paul. "Man, come get this money. It's been a blessing to give it. It's been a blessing to collect it. Now, would you please come and get this money and take it and get it distributed to the people it's supposed to go to?" And the incredible thing, folks, is not just that they gave, it's how they gave. It's how they gave. They gave with happiness. They gave with cheerfulness. They gave with an attitude of, "I get to do this. I don't have to do this. I get to do it." It's like glory to God. "Man, we have been collecting this offering for a while, and we're so excited about it. We're so excited to get it to you, Paul. Would you please come get it and make sure it gets distributed properly to the right people?" And that's how they gave. Now, I want to tell you something. It's been a long time since revival broke out in the offering time here at Faith Baptist Church. That's usually not when revival breaks out. But that's what's happening in Philippi. That's what's happening in Thessalonica. That's what's happening in Berea. These folks are having revival about the opportunity to give. The opportunity to give. I know, thank you. That's one or two amens. That's okay. I didn't expect a lot tonight. I'm prepared for it, okay? Now, I suggest to you that that kind of giving pleases God. The kind of giving that is not of necessity, not grudgingly, but cheerfully. That kind of giving pleases God. We get to give. It's a privilege to give. It's an honor to give. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us the opportunity to participate with you in this. Now, I want to show you a couple reasons why it is so incredible, okay? Number one, one of the reasons it's so incredible that they have this attitude is because it cuts against the nature of mankind. It cuts against the nature of mankind. Now look at verse number 1 in chapter 8. Paul uses the churches of Macedonia as an example of cheerful, unselfish giving. You say, okay, Pastor, but I don't see anywhere in here where Paul talks about it cutting against the nature of mankind. Yes, it's in there, folks. It's what he says in verse number 1. We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches. Their giving and their attitude toward giving was influenced by the grace of God. That's where you see the grace of God. God's grace had influenced them. God's grace had worked on their hearts. God's grace had moved on their hearts. And folks, that's the honest truth. It takes the grace of God to create a liberal, cheerful, happy, I'm excited about this, giving spirit. Because we're not born into the world that way. We're born into this world with a clenched fist because of our sin nature. Get all we can all we get. And you know what it takes to change us? Amazing grace. Amazing grace. It takes amazing grace to mold us, to teach us how to live open-handed instead of tight-fisted. Now let's just be honest about it. If we lived like we want to live, when it comes to money, this is how we'd live. With a clenched fist. Tight-fisted. But when God's grace works on a heart, when God's grace molds a man, molds a woman, when God's grace influences a person, they come to the place where they're excited about giving. They're looking forward to the opportunity to give. And, you know, there are earmarks that are signs that the grace of God is at work in a person's heart. And one of those earmarks is they possess a generous giving spirit. Now, before I got to this church, I was told this by a man who used to attend here and has since moved on other places. And somebody verified this. It was at a missions conference when the church was just getting started in the area of giving to missions in the old auditorium. And he went forward in one of those missions conference invitations, stood against the wall, put his arm up on the wall like this and his head against his arm and said, God, please make me a conduit for giving. Make me a conduit. Now, folks, that's not normal to man. That cuts across man's grain. That takes the grace of God in a person's heart. You know, we look at the grace of God as this wonderful influence upon people's hearts that cleans up their lives and changes them and makes the drug addict straight. And that takes the grace of God. Makes the impure, the immoral woman pure. Makes the drunkard sober. Cleans up a person. Strengthens a marriage. And we look at all those things and we say, wow, what about the amazing grace of God? And I submit to you, it takes just as much of the amazing grace of God to live, to transform from living like this to living like this. Amen. And that's what had happened to these people. They were excited about giving. They were thrilled for the opportunity to give. That's the grace of God working on the heart. But that's not the only reason it's incredible. The second reason it's incredible is when you think in light of their current financial condition. When you consider it in light of their current financial condition. Now look at verse number 2. Look at what Paul said about these folks in Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Now, Paul said these folks were in a great trial of affliction. He said they weren't just in poverty people. They were in deep poverty. Now, stop. I thought this offering was for the poor saints living in Jerusalem. So poor saints are giving to poor saints. They're in deep poverty. So the saints in Macedonia, living in deep poverty, were giving to the poor saints in Jerusalem, And these folks who were giving to the poor saints in Jerusalem were poor themselves. Now you say, what happens with... I'll tell you what that does, folks. That really destroys the excuse that so many people make for not giving. I don't have any extra. God didn't say they gave out of their extra. God said they gave out of their poverty. I didn't say that. I know, okay, I'm prepared for you to look at me with a, you know, eyeballs that big. But I didn't say that. God said that. They weren't giving out of their extra. They didn't have tons laid up. They didn't have CDs and investments and stocks and all that stuff. I'm not against that. But I'm just saying, these people who were excited about giving, who were pleading with Paul, come get this offering, we can't wait to give it to you, they were not giving out of an abundance. They were giving out of deep poverty. We like to proclaim our belief in God's Word. That's the Word of God, man. It's true. And buddy, it's just as true here as it is in John 3:16. Just as in, now, somebody says, but I have so little to give, it doesn't amount to much. That's not what God said. That's not what God said about this little giving. Folks, I doubt very seriously if this was scads of... How can people living in deep poverty give scads of money? They probably gave a rather meager, common offering. But God said that it abounded unto the riches of their liberality. What's He saying? Even though it was a small monetary gift, it was proof of the richness of heart. There was a liberality in that small gift that was huge. And God said, I see what you're doing. I see poor people giving out of their poverty to help other poor people. And I want to tell you something, even though it may not be large in your estimation, it's huge in my estimation because I see the heart that's behind it. I see the attitude behind it. I see the spirit behind it. It's that excitement. It's that cheerful giving that God says He loves. And folks, we can only speculate what that meant to the people who were living in Jerusalem. I can just tell you this. God can take a little bit and do a whole lot with it. He's done that for years and years. Now, this giving was the result, this incredible giving. What was it the result of? This incredible giving that was done with urgency, pleading, please take this offering. This giving was incredible because it cut against the grain and because of their current financial giving. You know what it was the result of? You say, well, I thought you said it was the result of the grace of God working on their hearts. Yes, but before the grace of God could work on their hearts, there was an important step they took. It's found in verse number 5. Look at it here with me. And this they did. These churches gave. Not as we hoped. You said, oh, Paul was disappointed, man. It was much smaller than... No, no, no. What he had anticipated receiving and what they gave blew his mind. It went over and above what he thought. This they did, not as we hoped. Now, here it is. But first gave their own selves to the Lord. You know what you can write beside that verse? Consecration. Consecration. What's consecration mean? Filling the hand of God. What's consecration mean? Doing His bidding. What's consecration mean? It means doing His will, obeying His bidding, doing His pleasure for our lives. What did they do first? Paul said, this is his testimony. Before they ever gave a dime, the first thing they did was they gave themselves to God. They consecrated themselves. They dedicated themselves in this specific area. God, what do you want me to do? God, how do you want me to give? God, how do you want me to approach the privilege of giving? What do you want? I want you. I want to do your bidding in this matter. And folks, that's exactly what it takes for God's grace to transfer us from being tight-fisted to being open-handed. It takes the grace of God to do that. But before God's grace can even work on our hearts, it takes you and me filling His hand. They were willing. They had to give their hearts to God first. And folks, God's not going to hold a hammer over people's heads and say, look, you give or I'm going to knock you in the noggin. God's not going to do that. God, you go through the Bible and you look at giving that is above the tithe and you're going to find one word associated with it over and over and over again. You know what word that is? Willing. 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 That means they first had to consecrate themselves to God. That was Paul's testimony. They first consecrated themselves to God. And when they did that, it opened the door for God's grace to move on their hearts, influence their heart, work on their hearts, mold their hearts to the place where they got to the, when they came to that offering, it was, this is an exciting time. This is not a burden. This is a blessing. And I tell you what, there are people today who still give with that spirit and attitude. I believe people in this church have learned to give with that spirit and that attitude. What a great passage about a group of people who consecrated themselves to God in this area of giving. All I'm asking, folks, look, we're going to feel God's hand when it comes to prayer. Feel God's hand when it comes to reading, especially His Word. Feel God's hand when it comes to preaching. Feel God's hand when it comes to witnessing. Feel God's hand when it comes to serving. Feel God's hand when it comes to giving. Do His bidding. Give yourself to Him. I don't have anything. Neither did they. But God's grace helped them find a way. And brother, when God opened the door and worked on their hearts, it wasn't, I have to do this. It was, I get to do this. Feel God's hand. A couple of things we're going to do in this month. It's all toward the end of the month. The first thing we're doing is the pigs that we passed out. And folks, all, you know, the pigs is just, it's just a reminder. You got it somewhere at your house. The pigs is just a reminder. Man, take your leftover change. And look, I know this is the day of the plastic card. I know that a lot of people don't even carry cash anymore. So it's not like everybody comes home at night with pockets full of change like we used to. But if you're having trouble filling up your pig with change, throw a check in there. You know, the money that comes in the pigs at the end of the month. We're going to have a good time on Sunday night, June 25th, when the pigs go to market. We haven't got everything planned out yet, but I can tell you in advance, we're going to encourage you to dress in farmer apparel, bib overalls, suspenders, jean skirts, blue jeans. Come in. We're going to have a good way to give the pigs that night. And you know what? I'm not into a comparison thing. I know we gave the pigs, 20 years ago? And it may or may not be the same. I don't know if it'll be the same amount. I'm not worried about that. All I'm asking you to do is just do God's bidding. Do God's bidding. Fill those pigs up. If you can't fill them up with coin, put a check in there. Decide, ask God, what do you want me to give? The pig money is for debt retirement. You know that. There's nothing hidden in this. None of that money goes for a dime of interest on our mortgage. All of that money goes to principal. And folks, just this past week, we came under the $600,000 mark on the building. We're on our way. We're on our way. That's incredible. God has been so good to us. So good to us. You know, I think about that because I talk to pastors who just are in such, they're such a, it's so tight where they pastor. It's just tight. It's tight financially. They're good men, good people, good churches, but it's just so tight financially. And we've not had that here. We've always been able to give above and beyond on the mortgage payment. This is just a way for little kids to take their pennies and their nickels and their dimes and participate in paying off the debt on this building. Get out of debt. Be debt free. Because as long as you got a mortgage, the borrower is servant to the lender. That's all this is. So get the pigs ready. Man, pray about it. If you're having a hard time filling yours up with coin, pray about what God would want you to do. And then, on the last Sunday of the month of June, on June 25th, I'm going to ask you between now and then to pray about a weekly commitment toward the debt retirement. A weekly commitment for the debt retirement. And you've got to pray about it. You just need to pray about it. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking any one person to single-handedly take care of all this. If all of us will just do God's will, just obey Him, do His bidding. Now look, it's a proven fact that most people can give more over an extended period of time rather than one lump sum. So and by the way, you say, well, I don't have much. I don't think they did either. I don't think that's what matters to God. I think what matters to God is, I get to do this. I get to do this. I look forward to it. Folks, I'm serious as a heart attack. I don't care if it's a dollar a week. or $2. I haven't checked with the guys that count the money, but I would, or the people that record it in the office on the computer. But my guess is that a very small percentage of people in this membership are giving on a weekly basis to the building fund. That's my guess, a small percentage. Okay. We started in 1995. We had $59,000 debt left on the mortgage. We gathered that money in just a few months and paid that mortgage off. We had a mortgage burning ceremony in the old building. And then we started saving money for this auditorium. This auditorium, this parking lot, cost $1.3 million. We had half of the money up front. We paid that off in 7 years. Some of us started giving in 1995. Some of you guys that count money, that have been here for a while, may remember we gave for 3 years, and then we renewed our commitments for three more years. So from 1995 to 2001, a lot of people gave on a weekly basis to the building fund, as well as missions above and beyond the tithe. I know I started giving in 1995, $50 a week. I think when we hit 2001, I'd have to go back and check the records. I think I said, okay, my commitment is done, and I didn't give for about 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. That's two, and that's three. There we go, okay. 2 or 3 weeks. And then the Spirit of God just smote my heart about it, and I started giving. So from 1995, June of 1995, to this morning, I've given $50 a week, with the exception of maybe 2 or 3 weeks in 2001. And there are other people here who've given weekly over these years to help this building fund. And, I'm not having a pity party about it. God's met my needs. God's taken care of us. He really has. I rejoice in the opportunity. But you know, it would be nice to have others of you just join in and help us. It's an aggressive goal to get this whole thing, debt retirement, completely done by our 50th anniversary in 2 years. That's a stretch. That's going to be aggressive, but if we don't work towards it, you can't sit on the couch and pray for a job. I wish God would just do something big for us. Let me tell you something. God has done something big for us. He's done something big for us for years now. He's kept us out of trouble. We've never been late on a payment. We paid extra back when the payment was $10,000 a month. There were very few months that we didn't pay extra on the building payment over there. God's done some big things for us, folks. We can't sit on the couch and pray for God to give us a job. But we take a step of faith. We move forward as a church body in this matter of giving. Who knows what God may do in response to that? He may not do anything extra. But I will tell you something. He has a will for me. He has a will for you. Do His bidding. Fill His hand. Be obedient to the Lord. What does God want you to do? All I'm asking you to do is what Paul said these people did. First, give yourselves to the Lord. Put yourself at God's disposal. Put yourself in God's hand. What do you want from me? In this area, and then just step out by faith and obey Him, and let's see what God will do in this area of helping us become debt free. I'm telling you, this passage right here, when you read it, you can take a pen and put a bracket around these verses and write out to the side, amazing grace. Amazing grace. The fact that these people who lived in deep poverty would approach the opportunity to give with a spirit of, man, this is great. Come get this. I am so happy to give this. The fact that they could do that was the result of amazing grace. Amazing grace. So all I'm asking you to do tonight, as we come into the month of June, present yourselves to the Lord. Give yourself to Him first, and then do His bidding, do His will, do His pleasure. Consecrate yourselves in the area of giving. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that Your Word will go forth in power in our hearts, because Your Word is the only authority that we have to stand and preach from. God, it's not our experience, it's not our opinions or our thoughts. It's Your Word. I thank You for the example of these people. I thank You for the example of these churches. I pray, God, that You would have a move of grace in the hearts and lives of our people. Lord, so many have been so faithful over these years. And I pray, God, that You might move on the hearts of people. I pray that, first of all, we would give ourselves to You afresh and anew. God, give ourselves to You. Your bidding. Your pleasure. And that, God, You would lead us and direct us And God, put it upon the hearts of Your people here to give and give with a cheerful spirit. Lord, may we see this debt retired and us come out of the bondage of a payment in just a few years. We would thank You for that. Lord, please make that a reality. Lord, more than that, make the opportunity to give a blessing to us and not a burden. Thank You for the gift that You've bestowed upon this church all these years of helping us with our finances, paying our bills, sharing with others, giving extra. It's been remarkable. I raise my hands in thanksgiving tonight to You and say all glory to God. You deserve every bit of it. God, please continue to work in our lives, our hearts, in this area, is my prayer in Christ's name. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. You obey the Lord tonight and just give yourself to Him afresh and anew.